Well, good morning. I mean, I don't have a lot of time because there's so much information, but I do want to say this. We're going to be covering a lot of chapters from the book of Acts. So I encourage you to read Acts chapter 21 through 26. And the reason why there's so much information is because we're going to learn a lot about an individual who had an entire life change. Right? We talk here that the evidence of someone who walks with God is that their life is changing. It's not really about what they declare as much as are they being changed. Amen? And so I have to ask this question to you. Are you a Christian or are you of the way of Jesus? Because we've had to start asking these questions nowadays in our culture. Because a lot of times we get this question. Hey, are you a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. What kind? Are you spirit-filled Christian? Are you a word Christian? Are you prophetic Christian? Are you this? Are you that? And here's all that we have done is we've absolutely messed up and manipulated what the word Christian means. In fact, I'd like to give you some history. You will never see the disciples or Jesus calling themselves Christians. Are you serious? Absolutely. In fact, Christian came out in the books of Acts where the people that were not believers used that as a derogatory term to describe those who were stupid enough to be of the way of Jesus. They were outcasts. They were Christians. And what do we do now? Boy, we declare ourselves Christian and holy. Watch yourself. Because hear this. I mean, we're going to jump in this thing real quick. The church you go to does not determine if you're a Christian. The music you listen to does not determine if you're a Christian. I guarantee I'll probably get some letters from pastors today if they watch online. The stuff you buy at a Christian bookstore does not determine that you're a Christian. The cross that you wear on your necklace doesn't determine you're a Christian. What does? Are you of His way? And then if you're of His way, listen to this, then you have no identity. And we live in a culture that is trying to redefine ourselves all day. Right? We are masters at creating labels and determining where you fit in. And we do that not so that we can include people, but so that we can separate them. Are you this? Are you that? Are you this? Are you that? Well, what do you say about yourself? In fact, do you remember when Jesus came to earth? In Scripture, if you read it, it says, many of them were saying, well, who do you say you are? And Jesus was silent. Are you the Son of God that everybody's saying you are? He was silent. Why don't you just plainly tell you who you are? And you know why I think, personal opinion, why Jesus didn't say anything? Because His identity was whatever His dad said. And if you're not listening to His dad, you'll never know who He is. If you're not listening to Him, you'll never know who His dad is. But what we've done is we've taken Christianity and we've made it a culturistic social group. In fact, if you will think the way I think, say what I say, we will all in this room declare you as a Christian and you'll be good. And you'll go, ooh, I want to be involved. So you say amen and you say the prayers and you listen to the worship and you hold your hands up, but you're not of His way. Well, hear me on this. Scripture plainly says when Jesus calls the Christians to Himself, He says this, I don't know who you are. And they say, what do you mean you don't know who we are? We did all these things in your name. He says, you didn't come visit me in jail. You didn't feed me when I was hungry. Right? You didn't clothe me when I was naked. And they went, what are you talking about? Ask anybody. We're Christians. And He says, when you failed to do this for the least of these, you failed to do it for me. Depart from me because I don't know you. But then there were other Christians that were kind of ignorant. If there was ever a church of ignorant people, can I get an amen? Amen. No amen? Oh, no. I don't like that because my identity is, I am smart. Hold on a second. Don't get offended and leave yet. You and I can be book smart, or you could be book smart. Doesn't mean you know God. You could have no academic value whatsoever and know the heart of God. Because it's not off of what you know here as much as it is what you know here. Now follow me here. We've got to get to a point to where we're not worried about our identity anymore. Right, ladies, you need to hear me right now. Are you tired of looking at magazines to tell you what's beautiful or not? Do you know what would be great? If you were able to sit there and go, God, what makes me beautiful? And he tell you, and you go, then I'm beautiful. Yeah, but Cosmopolitan, is that even a magazine anymore? I'm that old, right? Is it? Okay, thank you very much, ladies. No, this is what's beautiful. And imagine going, no, I don't have to worry about that because my identity is in what God says about me. Some of us in this room, man, you're amazing people. And you're like, I got this and this and this and this. And I say, put that identity down. Your money doesn't define you. Your job doesn't define you. You ready? Your relationship should not define you. But I want to flip it too. Some of you in this room, your self-worth is so poor that you believe in the lie of who you used to be. Instead of putting that title down too and saying, I don't know what I am, I'm what he says I am. Now I got to hurry up and I got to tell you about this guy named Saul whose name turns to Paul. If there's ever anybody in this scripture that experienced all these identities and then found out he does not have an identity, it's this guy. So let me explain to you who he is, okay? His name is Saul. He was born a Roman citizen to a Jewish family. Understand that. Rome is overseeing the Jewish people. They are subject to Rome. They are less than people to Romans. And this guy, Saul, was born a Roman. Lucky him. That's like when somebody's born into a rich family. Wow. I'll never forget, I went to my dad one time and I said, hey, Dad, need you to talk to me man to man. My dad's like, yes. And I said, are we really wealthy people and you're just trying to teach us the value of money? Because I've learned and I'm ready to go ahead and accept all that wealth. And of course, my dad's like, No, we don't have a lot of money. Are you sure, Dad? I was really hoping we'd have a lot of money. And no, you weren't born into it. You got to go to work. He was born into this family, a Jewish family. And what he did is he began to learn, because he is a Jew, about his people and about who God is through the Jewish law by the most highly trained Jews. So he is not only a Roman citizen, he is a Jew as being trained by the best Jews, and he began to climb the ladder of success as a Jewish person to the point he was in line to become the high priest of the Jews. Let me explain to you the government back then. You had the ruling religion, which is Judaism, led by the high priest that was appointed by God. That's from the law of Moses. It's no joke. But you also had a king of Israel. You may have heard of King Herod when Jesus was born. And then after Herod was the son of King Herod the Great, which was Herod Agrippa. And then we have the grandson of King Herod who's alive at this time. Now, let me just show you this. Talk about identity. Saul becomes this leader of the Jewish people while Jesus walks the earth. Jesus is crucified, raises again from the dead, and here come the people of the way of Jesus. Not Christians, they were of the way of Jesus, and they were illegal. To the point, Saul, who was a Jewish leader, was given permission to go and arrest all those people who were of the way of Jesus and put them in prison. And that's what he did. He went to your house, saw you doing your own Bible study and arrested you on the spot. Man, woman, and children, put them in arrest. He even got to the point, there's a man named Stephen who replaced Judas as a disciple. And Stephen spoke the truth of God to the Jewish people. And Saul said, you can kill him. And they stoned him to death right there. He killed people that were of the way of Jesus. And one day he was on his way to Damascus because he'd heard there were some of those people there. And he was going to get rid of them. He's going to arrest them. And on his way to Damascus, this light showed up. Bam! And it froze him in his tracks. He couldn't see. And this voice goes, Saul, what are you doing? Has some of you heard that same voice? What are you doing? And Saul goes, who are you? And the voice says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Hit your knees. And Saul hit his knees and realized he was blind. God took his sight. Why? Because he thought he was good, but he was blind. Just because we sit there and all come together and say, do you agree? Yeah. Do you agree? Then it must be God. Watch out. Some of us are blind and need to see. So here's Saul, he's blind. The people that are around him are like, what's going on? Saul's like, I'm blind. I do want to ask this question. Wouldn't that be so much easier if God would just do that for us? Every time we're messing up, just blind us for a moment. We'd all be like, what did he say on Facebook? Oh, no way. Let me tell you something. All right, God, I'm sorry. I won't post that. Okay, now I can see again. That'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Doesn't work like that. So here's what God tells Saul. Go to Damascus. I'm going to send you Ananias. He's my priest of the Jewish law, but he's now of the way of Jesus. He's going to pray for you, and he's going to tell you what you must do. And by the way, you're no longer Saul. You're Paul, because I'm changing you. A new creation is being born. Now here's Christianity, new creation. You ready? This is what I would like to be a new creation. To go to God and say, Lord, I give you my life. Make me a new creation. And God says, yes, child. Whoom. And I'm 4 inches taller. And I have long, wavy, blonde hair. Yes, I am a new creation. And people are like, dude, you look like Fabio. No, I look better. Fabio, because I'm a new creation. That's what we want, right? But when we go to Jesus and we say, Lord, it's no longer me, it's you, just know that your journey is not going to be unicorns and rainbows. But he'll be with you. And this is what Paul's about to find out. So after Paul's prayed for, he gets his sight back, they feed him, and they say, okay, listen to what God wants you to do. And Ananias says, God has chosen you to listen to the anointed one. You get to hear his words and be obedient. That's your identity now. You are nothing except what the righteous one says. You are nothing except what Jesus says. And Paul said this, well, I can't go back to Jerusalem because they'll kill me. Because I used to be this guy praying, yes, Jews are good. The people of the way of Jesus are terrible. And now I am of the way of Jesus. What a stinking hypocrite. Let me ask you this question. How many times have you declared, I am this way and I'll never change, only to find out you were a fool? If we all said that, we'd still be wearing the same clothes we did in high school, listening to the same bands. And if I'm calling you out right now, I apologize. Some of you are like, great white for life. And if you don't know who that is, good. Paul is told by God, I'm going to send you to speak to the Gentiles. If you don't know what a Gentile is, raise your hand. It's fine. Everybody raise your hand. You're a Gentile. Understand that. Because you're not of Jewish descent. And no, I don't believe in this, and I'm going to get a lot of letters for this. You can't sit there and say, no, I'm an adoptive Jew now. No, you're not. You were born in Snyder, Texas. However you want to pronounce it, it's Snyder, Texas. You're not a Jew. You're not of God's chosen people. You are disgusting before God's people. In fact, they couldn't even hang out with us, because if they hung out with us, they'd have to go back to Jerusalem and go through a ceremonial cleansing because they've been around us. Some of you in this room are going, that's my roommate, Pastor. And God said, Paul, go to those people. Go to the forbidden people and tell them about me. I am sending you to the Gentiles. So when the Jews in Jerusalem heard about Paul, he's now of the way of Jesus, and he's going to talk to Gentiles. Dude, if we ever see him again, it's on sight. We got to kill him. Guys, here's why. Listen. Because his changing makes us uncomfortable. Who he is now disrupts who we are. The reason they want to kill him is because he is no longer like them. I want to say this. When you truly surrender to God and he begins to change your life, don't expect it to be popular. Don't expect to be welcomed by your old friends. Don't even be expected to be welcomed by religious people. And some of us at this point, when we realize it's not fun, we quit. We don't want them to change our life. We just want to be accounted with the rest of the people that say they're Christian, that I want to be like them. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. I look like them. I talk like them. But I'm here to tell you, the only way someone is truly a Christian is if Jesus declares it, not them. Amen. So here's Paul, and I got to go through this real quick. God tells Paul, time to go home to Jerusalem. And Paul's like, what? He said, I've used you to speak to the Gentiles. Now I'm sending you back home to speak to the Jews. And Paul says, but they may kill me. And you know what God said? Yep. Well, Lord, so be it. I'm willing to live and die for you, because I don't have any other identity except for who you say I am. So he sends him back to Jerusalem. Now notice, when Paul gets to Jerusalem, he goes and visits James and the original disciples. And he meets with them. Now imagine being an original disciple. Weren't you the one that was killing us? Paul's like, yeah, my bad. Ugh, wish I could forget that. No, he said, guys, listen to me. This is what God did to me. He transformed my life on the road to Damascus, and he sent me to the Gentiles. And here's what he's doing with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are declaring his name. And you know what the elders, the disciples said? Praise God. Because we know that's not you. That's God. How do you know? Because we don't have an identity either. Because we walked with Jesus and realized it ain't about us, it's him. Next thing you know, they say, but they will kill you, Paul, so let's do this for you. Walk with these four other guys who are dying to self. You walk with them and they'll see that you are accounted with them, that you're not going against the law. You're actually there. And understand, this is what the Jews are saying. They're saying that Paul is telling Gentiles that the law of Moses is false. He's never done that. Guys, you need to hear this. Hear this, hear this. Modern Christianity will hate this. You have to have the Old Testament. It's important. People say, no, it's the law. We're delivered from the law. The law was not done away with. It was fulfilled. And if you don't know the Old Testament, then you will never know what you were truly saved from. You will never know how dark and how horrible it is in our life that God would send his son to die for our sins. You'll never understand that until you know the Old Testament. Your identity is not in the Old Testament. It's in the one who fulfilled the law. So here's what Paul does. He hides. They see him. They grab him. They start beating the brakes off of him. To the point as they're beating him, that a person from Rome, an official from Rome, said, stop. Because if you kill that guy, my superior is going to ask me what happened. He said, bring that guy to me. Paul comes to him all bleeding and messed up. And he says, you guys can't kill him. And they said, no, he is a Jew. He is blasphemous. He is a traitor. We're going to kill him. And he says, not until he's tried in your court. And so he protects Paul. Now I want to ask you a question. At this point, how many of us are quitting? How dare you, God, let me get beat up in your name? How dare Jesus die on the cross for my sin? Oh, Lord, if it's your will that I die for you, so be it. If it's your will that I live for you, so be it. Nothing of me, all of you. So Paul, thank God, he gets protected by this guy. And here comes the high priest, and they're like, no, we're gonna try him, and this is what's going to happen. And because Paul had caused a riot, they went to flog him, right? The Roman people went to flog him, and they laid him down, and they're about to flog him. And Paul goes, are you going to flog a Roman citizen? And they went, what? He said, I'm a Roman citizen, and that's illegal for you to whip me. In fact, you will get killed. And they withdrew from Paul, and they're like, what do you mean, you're a Roman citizen? Here comes a commander of Rome and says, hold on a second. How are you a Roman citizen? Listen to what he says. He says, I paid a lot of money to become a Roman citizen. How did you become one? Paul says, I was born in it. My parents were Roman citizens, and I'm born in it. And we are Jewish people. So hear me. This is why I say this. He is a Jew of all Jews. He is a part of the most strict sect of Judaism, which is Pharisee. He is a Pharisee of the Jewish people. He was raised in that. He excelled in that. But he is also a Roman citizen. And he says, I don't want to be tried before them. I want to be tried before Caesar. The Roman official couldn't do anything. Except as he's staying with the Roman official, they put him in chains, hands and feet. He can't go anywhere without chains. Some of you in this room will know what I'm talking about when I tell you that Paul had to walk like a penguin. No yellow jumpsuit. No, is it? Ah! Orange. I heard. He's a prisoner. And all he's done is was obedient to the Father. Why is this happening to him? I'll explain it in a minute. Next thing you know, the king of the Jews is coming to see the governor that Paul is arrested with. And listen, his dad's name was King Herod. They called him Herod the Great. He was the king of the Jews. And if you'll remember, when Jesus was born, they said, prophecy's been fulfilled. The king of the Jews is here. Herod didn't like it. So he sent people to go kill Jesus. After he died, he had his son take over. And his name was Herod Agrippa. Not Herod the Great, but Herod Agrippa. After he died, here comes his son. Listen to this. This is his name. Julius Marcus Agrippa. Because he's now a politician in Rome. He's changed who he is. He doesn't want to be associated with those people, the Jews, because he is now the king of them, but he wants to associate with the Roman people who are greater than those people. So he changed his identity, like many of us do, to please ourselves. Changed his name to be a Greek name and not a Jewish name. And everywhere he went, it says that there was great pomp and circumstance. He had an entourage with him, right? They were throwing roses, and he would walk like this and be like, yes, hello, hello. My name is Justus Marcus Agrippa. And And he comes to meet the governor, and the governor says, hey, you're the king of the Jews, right? You know all the law stuff, right? And he's like, yeah. I got this guy, Paul, that's locked up that I've been keeping because these Jewish people want to kill him. Would you mind listening to him? Because he's saying things about things I don't understand. Guys, you need to hear this right now. This is huge. Paul, when he speaks to the king, will speak in Aramaic, the Jewish language, because he's a Jew. But when he speaks to the governor, he speaks in Greek, because he's a Roman citizen. But you ask Paul who he is, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. But look, there's no translators needed. Paul can speak openly and clearly. And here comes this King Agrippa, and he says, bring Paul. And he tells him this in chapter 26. He says, Paul, you can speak for yourself. And Paul begins to give him the whole story. Here's what happened to me. Paul begins to tell Agrippa how Jesus changed his life. And to the point that in verse 25, after he had said these things and had talked about the fulfillment of the law and that Jesus is the Messiah, on verse 24 of Acts chapter 26, the governor, his name is Festus, which I find hilarious. If there was ever a West Texas redneck name, it's Festus. Here you have Justice Marcus Agrippa and Governor Festus. He's coming in on a mule, not a camel. Anyway, it says, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. He says, you're out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. Do you know why this Roman official said that? Because Paul is speaking of things of the Old Testament that doesn't make sense. Except to the King Agrippa, it does. Because it's where he's from. Paul said, I am not insane, most excellent Festus replied. He replied, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things. I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because he was not done. It was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, listen to this. Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Man, listen to this. Here is a king who has the identity that he has created. I don't want to be counted with the Jews as much as I want to be counted with the Romans. And his identity is huge. But when he's listening to Paul, he's getting cut to the core. Because he knows the Old Testament. He knows the prophecy. And he knows that these things have happened. And he looks at Paul and says, you trying to make me become a Christian? Listen to what Paul says. This is huge. Paul replied, short time or long time, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. All Paul did was tell everybody he came in contact with what Jesus had done for him. He didn't declare himself a Christian. He declared himself of the way of Jesus. And the fruit shows. And from that point, the king of Israel said, I would free you from these chains if I could, but you declared you're a Roman citizen and you must go to Rome to be tried. And we go, oh, if he'd have just declared that he wasn't a Roman citizen, then he'd be freed now. That's not the goal. The goal is that God will accomplish whatever he desires in Paul. Our goal should not be counted with Christianity, but it should be that God would accomplish all he desires in each one of us. That our fruit would define who we are, not our declaration, but his. Now, when all this is said and done, when Paul gets by himself, the Lord starts to speak to Paul and says, you're doing great. Hang in there. because I use you to declare my name to the Gentiles. I have used you to declare my name to the Jews. And now I'm going to use you to declare my name to Rome. Why did he call Paul? Because he knows all of them. He's been all of them. And he has died to all of the identities he's had. You want to be counted with God? Don't try to be a Christian. Try to be of the way of God. Christianity is what was declared about the outcasts. If we say, no, I am a Christian, ask anybody, that's the wrong motive. Our motive should be, Lord, I got nothing. Let me just tell people what you've done in my life. Now, this is very important. I'm going to ask Pastor Allen to go ahead and come forward. But Pastor, I was baptized and I was at youth camp and I went down and prayed and I said the sinner's prayer. Am I a Christian? I wouldn't count on that because that's what man told you to do. Well, what's going to determine if I'm a Christian? What is going to determine if I'm a Christian? Does he know you? It's more important. It's different than saying, do you know him? Because I know people that read Scripture over and over again, and they know everything about Jesus, but they never let Jesus know them. We can't be that. Here's why we can't be that. You know this if you're here at this church. It's not a game here. We don't have time. We have people dying every day because they're searching for an identity that is not there. And what they need to see is not someone who comes up and declares that they're a sinner and I'm a Christian. No, they need someone to come up and say, let me tell you what he's done in my life. Because I used to be like you. I'm not afraid of my past. Some of you in this room, you're a dope fiend. You're a criminal. Some of you in this room, you're a liar. You're an adulterer. And everybody's like, I haven't done any of those things. Have you thought about them? Now we're all murderers, dope fiends, killers, we're everything. So we go before God and we say, change me. And God says, then look at me. Jesus says, come follow me and I will change you. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Is it going to tickle? No. Will I be changed? To the very core. You will no longer fit in this world because you'll become a part of mine. Oh, Lord, help us. Can I get an amen? Pastor Al.
I invite you to join us in our Lord's Prayer. Who do we pray to? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we love you. Master, we stand before you as your body, a body of believers, a body committed to your will and your way. Master, followers of you, ones who, Master, want to be identified as your children, as your brothers and sisters in Christ. So God, we ask that that would be manifest, that we would be the example to a lost and a dying world, that you, God, would be evident in everything we do, God, in our conversation, in our actions, in the way we love each other, God, and in the way we love the world, that they would know that we are Christians by our love, that they would know that we are followers of Jesus because our heart is bent towards them. Father God, accomplish all you have in mind in us. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in this place, amongst this people, in agreement, God, with your will in heaven. Master, we thank you in advance for it. So we ask that you would bless and keep this your people. Cause your face to shine upon each of them and all of them. Master, let your countenance be turned to us and be gracious. The peace of your sweet spirit be established in our homes, in our families and in our lives. We ask it be accomplished. In the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. God bless you guys.